This is Lucy Pohl, Mercy from Overwatch, and I have my ear on Game Fix. They heal my soul.
They pretty much just took a game from our childhood and added mechanics from the games of our adulthood.
Capcom developed their own RE engine, so now their games don't need Unreal unless they want it on there.
All right, partner. You know what time it is.
Let's go, Payday! Go, Payday!
Welcome to another edition of the Game Fix Podcast. I'm Spanish.
I'm Mike.
And I am Verlaine. Make sure to check out our website, GameFixShow.com, and our weekly stream of our weekly recorded podcast right here if you're not, Facebook.com/GameFixShow and Twitch.tv/GameFix.
Yes. Well, there's a lot going on in the show today. We're going to get to a bunch of stuff. Namely, another studio gone, another studio acquired by another studio. Is this a thing? Activision Blizzard's back in the news again for something not great, as they usually do. But also in this episode, at the very end, very end of the episode, we will be talking episode 5 of the Aftermoon Delight.
Afternoon Delight.
So we'll get to that at the end. So if you haven't seen episode 5, Mike, you can you don't have to listen, and we're just giving you a fair warning. But after we're done, actually, we have a treat for you guys. After we're done with what we've been playing this week, we have an interview. Actually, Verlaine and our own Colonel Fancy Mike actually caught up with Lucy Pohl. She is the voice of Mercy in Overwatch. So, it's an actual interview with video and everything. It's great. Nice. So, yeah. Please stay tuned for that. So, all right, but let's do what we normally do, and we talk about what we've been playing. How about we start with me, just because I haven't really been playing anything that crazy, because it's been quite a week just getting ready for the Fan Expo this past weekend. We'll get into that as well. But I've been playing a lot of Horizon Forbidden West. I am 113 hours in. That's a lot of time. Yeah. But it's good. It's great. I'm actually here it is, and I'm saying it right now on the show that by next Monday, by next week, I will be done with the game. Well, the first playthrough. Anyway, and then recent last night, I jumped on a little bit late last night. I was getting some stuff done, and you and Jack, Verlaine, you guys were actually playing Sea of Thieves. And I got in there, and you were about to leave anyway, because I'm to the point where I don't think you want to play video games with me anymore. That's why you're like, I'm out of here. I'm just kidding.
Dude, I start playing video games like 5 now.
I'm just kidding. So, like, so I actually, you left.
You got paid.
I got paid. It was free money. You left, yeah. And I just completely took whatever Jack had on the ship. Now, then we kept going, and we actually completed the storyline, the Blackbeard or whatever.
Black Pearl.
The Black Pearl. Excuse me, I was saying Blackbeard. We completed that. We got through it, and apparently, right where you gave up on it is right when there was action. That's what Jack told me. So I was like, oh man, well, that's just how it goes. So, but then,
fashionably late.
Yeah. But then, as we turned in all our treasure and stuff, we just started sailing and just doing whatever. And we came across a skeleton ship. And mind you, we only had a sloop, as you knew, you know. And we ended up sinking it. We did. We actually beat it. We sank it. Nice. And then it dropped tons of treasure. Like it was like somewhere around 4,000 to 5,000 gold pieces. And that one, that was it. Like, we were pretty much done with the game. But since we did that, we were like, well, let's go turn this in at least. So it was good. I was pretty excited about it. We'll have to get back into it. But I know, Verlaine, I really think you should just delete it. You're never gonna like the game. You're never gonna like it. You want to like it.
Well,
but you're never going to.
When we first started, I mean, I liked it. The I'll just go. Are you done talking about what you've been playing?
If you want to go first, by all means.
Well, okay, so yeah.
What's up, Aaron? Thanks for joining us here.
What up, Aaron?
So close.
So what I've realized with that game is it's the same with Warzone. Look, it's a good game, and I like playing it. The thing is that the chances, I don't have a lot of time to play games, and that's why I don't play Warzone, because like there's usually not a lot of action, and then there's a chance that everything we've done is wasted because our first encounter, we die.
Yeah.
Same thing was happening with this game. We started playing at like 8:30 or 9, and like I looked over and it was like 10 o'clock and we still really didn't achieve anything. And I'm like, look, I love the game. I love being in there and like just figuring out shit and using
I think right there, that's the issue. The issue is that you feel like you need to achieve in a game in order to have fun playing it.
Well, that's the fun part to me is the action. Like, I can enjoy sitting on a boat, but when I like have limited time to play an actual game, it would be different if the payoff, if it was like a little more frequent, because we got to fight skeletons. That was after an hour and a half of sailing and trying to figure shit out, which I like figuring the shit out. But like, once we're on the island and we get to where we figure it out, like, it's still just, yeah, it's just too slow paced for me to actually jump in and be like, hey, let's do a round of it right now. Especially because like me and you play different. So now it's just me and Jack doing sloop stuff. It's even with Warzone. Like, I think Warzone's a great game and I like playing it. Call of Duty's cool. It's just, you know, it's just, I don't know. I'm more about like the quick fucking just get in there and like action. I don't know. I still like the game. It's a beautiful game. It's cool. Mm-hmm. I've been playing it more frequently, so I'm getting used to like being able to pull out my telescope right away and shit, you know? So whatever. I mean, I'll still give it a couple more chances, but yeah, it's just, that's what it is. It's just, it's too much non-action.
See, I like it. I think that's the point. I love playing with friends and stuff. And I think that is right there. The game. That's the game.
Yeah.
I don't need this constant action. I don't need it. I'd rather, you know me, I'm more of a grinder and I like to kind of solve things and try to figure things out. And to me, that is a game. We have different views. You know, I'm more of a one player game anyway. Like I like being kind of alone playing, and you're a multiplayer guy. So I get it.
Yeah.
Mike, what do you think? You're kind of quiet. What's going on, dude?
I was listening to the way that he explained that, and it's funny because what I was playing Conan Exiles, and
who,
the way
who
he
explained
feels
what?
About
who explained what
explained
about Sea of Thieves and how like there's like like a good deal of nothing, and you have to find the something in order to like engage in it.
Yeah,
and like I was playing Conan Exiles, I feel the exact same way about that game that I think Verlaine feels about Sea of Thieves. Like, Sea of Thieves, I think I can sort of get into the, like, nautical thing of it. Like, when I have a boat and I can, like, sail around, it's like a little fun and, like, a little soothing. But you do kind of want the things to happen. In Conan Exiles, there's nothing.
You start that game off trying to find water or something. Like, you're naked in the desert.
Yeah, like your wangs just hanging out, depending on which gender you decide to play.
This is like you pretty much describe Terminator, like going through.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
I need your clothes, your boots, and your motorcycle.
Your shoes and your boots. So in like Codex, you know, you're gathering resources and you're getting your stuff and you're creating your weapons, and like all of that's fine, but once you've like established like a base camp, there's nothing. It feels like a game that for as long as it's been out, it still feels unfinished. There's no real missions, there's no real incentives. And it's like the most dry, bare bones like survival game that I think I played. And I've also been playing Metal Gear Survive recently, and that's more fun than Conan Exiles. Like, I'm being attacked by the same shit, but at least they're shit attacking me. Okay. At least I'm there's running action. Out of oxygen.
See, that's like, what Verlaine, if he likes the action.
It's,
so
it's the survival genre that I can't do, and without like even just. Because for a while playing Sea of Thieves, we would come up to boats a lot, almost too much. We would try to get shit done and come up to boats that would just, it was ridiculous. And now it's like, I want that. And without that, it's just like a boat simulator.
Yeah.
And I want to, even
it's
if
a
the
pirate,
whole ride.
It's a pirate simulator. Right. You would be, you, Verlaine, I'm sorry to say this, but you would be an awful pirate.
I would be the guy. Pirate. Every single island we stop at, I'm going to be fucking starting shit, murdering people and stealing gold.
Whatever,
because
dude.
I need the action.
Dude, but you have to understand that you're going to be on the boat for like 3 months before that happens. So you're just going to sit there and be like, damn it, I wish I would have brought my video games or something like
Yeah. Damn right. All right. So
anyway, what else you've been playing?
So I've tried Infernax a couple more times. Yeah. It's really hard. I can't get out of the castle that I'm in. Like, I can get the only purpose of this castle, as far as I know, is to get this item, and I get the item, and it allows me to like shoot fireballs, almost like Zelda, out of my sword. But I can't get back because I don't have enough life, and there's actually parts where, you know, you have, it's just the 2D board and you have a tunnel like this, and there'll be a row of spikes and then a row of spikes and then a row of spikes. So there is, you have to hit the spikes. So they make you get hurt. There's even a jump that you can't go over. You have to like hit the spike, become invisible, jump on the ledge, and then jump just to get over.
Jeez.
So it's hard to get out. 'Cause even if I beat all the enemies, there comes to that part where it's like, all right, I'm about to lose this life, I have to do it fast. I played a lot of VR. Larsenauts, me and Jack figured out what our issue was about getting split up. So now we don't get split up. So now it's pretty sweet. It's just Overwatch and VR. We're unlocking more characters. We're getting used to it. We actually finally got to play an escort level they have. So you escort the payload. It's sweet. In VR, the game's sweet, man. The only thing now is that because they're using the gimmick of earning characters, like unlocking characters as you level up or through a loot box, you can be anybody. Like the old days of Overwatch where you can have a whole team of like snipers. And that's kind of stupid because then like you can have a bunch of invisible people. And they will let the invisible person, like Sombra, can't capture a point or anything when she's totally invisible. It lets the dude become invisible and do that stuff. So they can cap while invisible. They can escort payloads while invisible. And when they're invisible, they're fucking invisible, like Sombra invisible. But the game's still getting better now that we're learning it. There's still not a huge player base. And there are a lot of kids that don't really know how to play it. But other than that, I mean, it's cool. I can see it getting better. I can see actually another company making a better version.
I got to jump into it. Yeah, at some point I'm going to jump into it.
Yeah,
for sure.
it's not...
Is it the beta version or is this like the full?
No, this is a full version. They've already updated it a couple times. There's a lot. A lot is taken from Overwatch, but why not? Overwatch takes from whatever, but it's really cool. And if you are a player of Overwatch, then you're going to like you're going to have an edge. Because there's a lot of people that play this game that have never played like team-based shooters before.
Yeah.
And then After the Fall, which is the zombie shooter that you should get into that before. I actually like it a little better. They had an update, more weapons. Me and Jack finally beat the campaign on the lowest level, and it's sweet. It's an all-around cool game. It's a good game just to do the horde, like the shooting. Everything feels good about it still. And they just keep adding more and more to the game. They added a new level. They added game modes. A new enemy is in there now. New guns.
Cool.
It's sweet. It's a really cool game. It's a good game that they're actually like they're focusing on it, and it's really cool. And again, it's made by the dudes who did Arizona Sunshine.
Oh, that's right.
So if you like that, yeah. So if you like that, it's like that, just less horror and more action.
Okay.
Yeah, so and that's pretty much it.
You like that action, as we already said. Yeah, Mike, what has you been playing? I don't know why I even did that.
other than like Conan Exiles, which I tried out there, I hopped back into a bit of Street Fighter V, just playing ranked and kind of messing around. I'm at gold now, so that's probably like the highest I think I've been. I was going to make like a strive for platinum, because the game hit like it's a final season. It's like final update, so Street Fighter V will die after this year.
Wait. It's not dead yet.
Is Street Fighter 4? Street Fighter 4 is not dead, is it?
There's still lots of people online playing it, but as far as like Capcom Pro Tour, like tournament life, like, you know, this is like it for the game. This is like the last tournament season before they roll in 6. So like, yeah. They aren't gonna update. They aren't gonna update 5 anymore, except for maybe some like glitches that might happen. But as far as like updating and balancing the characters, yeah, this is it. And I'm just gonna make like a stretch run to see how far I get in ranked. Bless my like fighting game buddy friends who like want to coach me and say, no man, we're gonna get you up to platinum, we're gonna get you up to ultra diamond, you can be that good. I'm almost a 40-year-old man. I don't have time to be that good in fighting games.
Come anymore. On. Yes, you do. Don't do it.
I probably could, but man, like when you're younger, it's easier to like get, it's easier to stay sharp at like fighters. I took like almost a decade off of like serious playing and now I suck. So when I'm trying to play these games,
I bet you're better than I am at it. I'm just
you could probably hop in the rank and bust people up until you get to like ultra bronze, and then people will just start doing random dragon punches and
ultra
and then
bronze. See, I don't even know the tiers.
Ultra bronze.
I know, that's what keeps going through my head right now. Ultra like bronze.
I just have no real desire to try and get that good anymore, because there's is someone going to pay me for it? Am I going to go to like Evo or Combo Breaker? No, I'm not. I'm just an old guy, and I'm just a former old arcade junkie that's playing these games because King of Fighters 15 scared me away because my reflexes are dead and that game is too fast.
No, that's fair. Speaking of Street Fighter, I don't know if you follow our Facebook page. I did post this video. Since you brought it up, I'm totally gonna play it right now because it's amazing. I don't know, Verlaine, did you happen to see this video? They mute the video and this guy is actually doing all the voices, all the sounds with his mouth. I mean, pretty much. If you're not watching it, at least listen to it because it is incredible.
Bora. Candidato número 3, minha boca é um show, valendo R$1.000.
Round 1. Fight. Hadouken. Hadouken. Tiger. Tiger. Hadouken. Tiger. 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 Hadouken. Attack. Attack. Tiger. Tiger uppercut. Tiger uppercut. Draw you kid. Tiger, tiger, Hadouken. Tiger. Hadouken.
Yo, win. Mais um round. Tem mais.
Like he even did. I love at the end. Like it was the points. It's awesome. That's amazing. Anyway, okay. Sorry, I had to play it. It was just like one of the coolest videos I've ever seen. So if you haven't seen it or heard it, it's amazing. So okay, Mike, keep going. I'm sorry.
Yeah. That's pretty much all. I'm just playing Street Fighter. Tried Conan Exiles. I also tried out a little bit of SOCOM 4 because I never played that one before.
Oh, okay.
It's pretty good. If it's not broke, don't fix it style of mode. So like if you're familiar with like the previous SOCOMs, it's pretty much this except on PlayStation 3.
We went back a little retro.
Yeah.
Is PlayStation 3 retro?
Yeah, I think it is now.
Yeah, yeah. I was. I mean, it's a conversation for another day. But like, I was thinking about
you can have
like,
it right now if you want.
Because like, it was like, you're like, can those be considered retro? And for like the longest time, I used to kind of say no, not really. But when I look at the jumps in like tech and like the and the sophistication of like game engines. And you can stream directly from consoles. Like this is stuff you couldn't do two gaming generations ago.
Yeah.
And stuff like the Wii. The Wii is like, it's like its own time capsule. There's nothing else like that. So I feel like it's time to call those things retro. Also, They peak at like 720p for like resolution displays, and that's like bare minimum standards now. So. Right. I would feel like that 7th gen is retro.
It's, okay. That's fair. I've never heard it called 7th gen, but I guess that is technically correct.
I was actually cycling through the numbers in my head. I was like, wait, was that 6th or 7th gen?
Verlaine, could you have gotten that? I don't think, yeah. No. Like, no. This is why you're here, Mike. This is why you're here. Also,
I'm helping.
Yeah, that's right. Also why you're here, well, every Tuesday you put out an article. What is this week? The retro reboot.
This week's retro reboot is going to be and I'm going to have to look back at the collection. I'm pretty sure I can say this with confidence. This is the first Super Nintendo game we rented in our household. Ultraman Towards the Future on Super Nintendo.
I never played that.
Cool.
It was like one of the first couple of games that we had rented because my dad used to be on the road all the time. So we would stay at our grandma's house when like my mom was in the hospital. So he would come back for the weekends and we'd go to the like rental store and we would just rent like 6 or 7 games.
I remember those days. Hell yeah.
Yeah. Because like my dad was big in the games. Were it not for like Top Gun on NES, I probably wouldn't be like the gamer that I am. He loved that game.
Could he land on the battleship?
Yes,
or the aircraft carrier. Yes.
Yeah, he could do it every time.
I think it's impossible.
I could land on it.
Shut up.
I thought about turning it on before the show started to practice.
I'll put it on too, and I'll film myself doing it. I have the game.
I have never been able to do it.
It's hard. As a kid, like I don't even know if I did it as a kid. It might have been like until I was like late teens, early 20s before I actually was able to do it. Oh.
Yeah, as a kid, I always felt like I did it on accident.
Yeah, if I did it, it was on accident. It was just like luck, like. But really, if you read the radar, you'll get it every time. If you could just read the things.
So wait, you have to hit a button before you hit it? Maybe that's what I was.
I think you're supposed to hit the button to release that hook. And grab onto the thing at the right time. Almost positive.
I never hit the boat. I was always like in the water. Yeah,
because I've hit it. I'm pretty sure because I've hit the boat before and just would kept going.
Oh,
I don't know. I could be thinking of another game, but I'm pretty sure it was. I know I've hit the boat on that because I've been to the past the first level.
I think you're also thinking of God damn it! It's refuel stations. The refuel stations.
Oh, so, the like, refuel
when you're
station,
running low on fuel.
Yeah. No, that was the plane because you'd have to join up with the plane in front of you, and they'd have to like connect with you.
Yeah, that was hard too. I remember doing that.
Yeah.
Which, oh my god!
Which means
there a button you could press?
Which means somebody would have to have passed that level in order for me to get to that point.
I don't know.
Because I never did it myself.
Oh, just fever dream amongst us.
Yeah. Well, okay. Well, all right. So sweet. Look for not Top Gun tomorrow on Mike's retro reboot. He'll be posting that up. He does it every Tuesday between noon and 1 o'clock. So please look for that. GameFixShow.com. So, all right. We still got a lot to get to, but we got to get to this first. You guys, both of you guys, Verlaine and Mike, caught up with Lucy Paul. She is Mercy from Overwatch, and here's the interview.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? I am Verlaine. You already know that. I'm here with Mike at Fan Expo, and we are hanging out with probably a superstar to our podcast, Mrs. Lucy Pohl. You would know her as Mercy from Overwatch. What's going on?
Hello. What's going on, everybody?
I have to congratulate you first because Microsoft bought Blizzard. Yay. Have you personally seen anything different so far that has happened with that?
Uh, Well, just that, you know, they're pushing the Overwatch 2 release. The beta's come out. You know, we've been recording lots of stuff. So I feel like there's a little bit of a new life.
So it is like once this happened, they just fired on all cylinders and are kicking things back and just throwing it in our face.
That's well said, I guess. Yeah, why not? We'll go with that.
Yeah, it felt like for the longest time there was a period of like dead air with the game, and they're trying to reconfigure how they want to do with Overwatch 2 as far as rollouts and character trailers. Like, will there be like more upcoming trailers for like hero stories?
I don't know. You're asking the wrong person. I don't work on that end at all. I don't have that information at all. I just, you know, I play Mercy. I go in, record those lines, and that's about it in terms of involvement in the game. So I can't tell you, unfortunately.
I've seen some things that you've done, and you've expressed so much emotion in the fact that you're Mercy and what this character has done just for your life. How does it feel that you get to pretty much start it all over again?
It doesn't feel that way, I think, to us, that we're starting all over again. I think it feels really fun that we get to kind of evolve the characters and take them to new places. I wouldn't say that it feels that we're starting all over again, but it's definitely fun to get to do new types of situations and new types of kind of iterations of the character. Yeah.
Nice. So with your upbringing, like, you come from a very talented family. Is there a lot of like competition to strive on bettering yourself with like your siblings and your parents?
Competition? No, I wouldn't say there's competition. I think that we all support each other, and it's kind of just our way of life, you know, because everybody in my family is in this business. So I think we're pretty supportive of each other. I think no dirty laundry there.
Did you have a plan B for if not just voiceover, but any of your performance, what was it going to be?
I never did. No, I briefly thought that I thought I would maybe be a marine biologist for like 3 months when I was like 11, because I was really into sharks. So maybe that.
And then after that, it was just straight up entertainment.
It was always that, because as I said earlier, I grew up in that world. So it was always that. Yeah.
So speaking of, like, there's your stand-up comedy career. So now that the world's opened back up, will there be more chances of going on tour for more comedy shows?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, for sure. Yep. Right now I'm doing a lot of stuff in New York, and I'll be doing some stuff in L.A. and then in Australia in the summer. But, yeah, I'll probably go on tour in the U.S. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. No, it's great.
Also, the Genji and Mercy ship.
Okay.
This has been a popular thing online. Any thoughts about that?
You know, I have to stay, I have to be Switzerland, stay very neutral. We support all the ships, Farmercy, Genji, all of it is great. Love that people are putting, you know, characters together in the game. Very fun. And I love Gaku Space. Gaku Space is the best, so.
Where do you see yourself in 5 years?
Oh my goodness. On an island in the sun. I don't know. I don't think like that. I don't know. I mean, anywhere. Hopefully. Not somewhere rainy and cold.
Will you recommend us a movie or a show to watch?
Okay, yeah. I'm obsessed with Reservation Dogs. Have you guys heard of it? It's Taika Waititi and Starling Harjo.
No. I said that weird, but I'll tell you why.
And it's set on a reservation in Oklahoma, and it's really funny, really touching. Love that show. And then movie-wise, The Rescue, which is about the Thai soccer team cave rescue. Do you remember that? The soccer team, the like boys that got stuck in a cave and they had to rescue them. It took like a month and they were all going to die. It's pretty dramatic. It's a documentary.
Yeah, I've heard of that.
I'm glad I don't know it, because then we could watch the movie. So where is the show?
The Reservation Dogs? I think that's FX, so Hulu. I think I watched that on Hulu.
Okay. Waititi, right? Have you seen Our Flag Means Death?
Yes, I have. Yeah, I love it.
Dude,
Yeah, I love that kind of humor, though.
Yeah, he's very quickly becoming one of my favorite people in media. So I think that's all I've got. I have one more. Characters, voiceovers, and stuff like that. Is there any character that you want to portray, even if it's acting in a movie? Like, I wanted to do something like in The Matrix. But what would you like really think that you could do?
I would love to actually just work with Taika Waititi on anything, whatever he does. I'll play like a lizard child.
And he would make it look awesome.
Yeah. But that's kind of the fun of being an actor. Get surprised by the work that offers itself to you. So it's kind of nice to not be like, oh, I want this or that. And then things pop up that you've never thought were possible. I just did something that I can't talk about. That's so fun, was so unexpected, and one of the funnest sort of voice acting roles that I've ever done and characters I've ever gotten. So, yeah.
So is that kind of like, watch out for that one?
Yeah, it's kind of lame. I can't say anything about it, but it's a super fun project.
All right, cool. Well, thank you so much for taking your time out. Again, Lucy Pohl, Mercy in Overwatch. Hi, Jack. Jack's running our camera.
Hi, Jack.
Yeah, thanks. Good luck in everything. And we're going to see you in game very soon.
Yes, absolutely. Yep.
All right. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Nice to meet you. Fun.
Fun. Yeah, no, that was awesome. Way to go, guys. That was that was really good. She's pretty great. I was actually surprised. I wasn't sure exactly what we were gonna get. And
me either.
Yeah, she shines. She looks great, and she looks awesome. I mean, it was just like awesome how, she seems like she's just outgoing and very cool. And Mike, you mentioned her comedy career. I'm like really interested in that. I want to see what that's all about, because I didn't even know that she was in comedy, to be honest. So
yeah. I had sampled a little bit of it.
Is it funny? Probably, I mean, I'm sure before. It's funny.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
That's cool. I also like how Verlaine calls anyone dude. I'm a big fan of that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Why wouldn't I?
Dude.
that's like woke shit, dude.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah. That's fair. If that's the way you look at it. Like woke shit.
Back in the day, people be like, girls would be like, "Don't call me dude." And now it's like they don't give a shit.
Yeah, call me dude. I want to
call me dude.
Yeah,
not everyone's.
You don't know.
It's like Good Burger. I think Good Burger coined that. I forgot the character from it.
I'm a dude. He's a dude.
Oh yeah, remember that? Yeah, yeah. Didn't he like orange soda? I do. Ooh. Yeah, of course it is. I know. I acted like I didn't know that. That's why.
All right. I didn't.
Yeah, well, you're a little too old for that, I think. I think you were just beyond that. Yeah, that's okay, though. All right, let's get into some news here. Actually, Mike, you wrote this article on our beautiful website, gamefixshow.com, this morning, actually. Now, explain this. Embracer Group purchases Western Studios Crystal Dynamic. And is it Eidos? I was close. Eidos Montreal from Square Enix. I probably should know that, but I just didn't. Explain what's going on. And who the hell is this Embracer Group?
So Embracer Group, it's like Nordic Holdings. It's Nordic Holdings. They're the company that amassed the rights that like THQ used to have before they went belly up.
Okay.
So they absorbed all of that and then became THQ Nordic for a while. Like THQ Nordic's still around, but Embracer Group is like the parent company, and they've been spending the last couple of years buying like a shit ton of studios and companies. Nothing like major like headstream, because like I think if you go to their website, they have like their name and then like a giant circle of like all the studios that they have, and they're like based out of Switzerland, but I think they might have Metro Exodus 2 now. Maybe. Okay. I could be wrong about that. Don't put me on record for that. I'm shooting up.
Oh, you're on record already.
Oh, you're
shit.
We're live. We're live here, bud. No, just kidding.
Ah, crap! I'm gonna get blown up.
All right, fine.
So. Square Enix decided they don't really want they're like Western Division Studios anymore. So they sold Square Enix Montreal, Eidos Interactive, and Crystal Dynamics, and as well as all of the properties. That's like over 1,000 employees, 8 studios across the world, for $300 million.
Do you think with this purchase, they will actually make the... I say that I'm laughing as I'm saying it. Do you think they'll make Marvel's Avengers an actually good game?
I don't really think so.
Probably not.
Because Square Enix are the ones... This is the Square Enix side of it were the ones who fucked it up in the first place with their roadmap.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Like Crystal Dynamics had like a pretty good... action game going, and I felt if they'd stayed focused on that, and if they'd shaped it more into what like Guardians of the Galaxy it ended up being, it probably would have been a hit. Their dumb roadmap killed it, so Squeenix just blamed them for it and just tossed them out of the... They just kicked them out.
I like Squeenix. I'm into that. I like that. And actually, that actually one of the IPs is one of Verlaine's favorites, is Hitman. So I don't, you know, will that mean there'll be a future for Hitman? I don't know. What do you think about that?
Look, Hitman right now for me is at a point that Halo and Gears and Tomb Raider all got to, where it's just, I don't think they can change enough to be different, because you'll start straying off what the actual plan is, and then you start just remaking shit. Three isn't even a new game. I just played through it. I will still go back and play that game probably forever. And once they make VR at least accessible to me, I've watched VR Hitman a lot from this dude. And I don't know how, I never bothered to look how he's playing it, because remember when it came out on PlayStation, it was, you had to play with a controller, and that's what lost me. I was like, fuck no, I'm not going to play with a controller, Hitman. But this dude's doing it where he's like actually moving his hands and doing stuff. So I don't know if there's an update that allows you to like maybe use the wands, or if you use the controllers more, I don't know. But that looks fun, even though even that is limited. But either way, with what you're talking about, yeah. I'm not worried, because even if they come out with a new Hitman, it's either going to be different enough to try out, or it's going to be the same thing, and I'm not going to give a shit.
Okay. All right. That's
you know, fair. But, yeah. But what I'm surprised at is like, wasn't it like yesterday when they were like, hey, we're selling on our shit, all our shit. And then today it's already picked up.
Yeah.
We never hear the part where, hey guys, we're going on sale. We never hear that. We only hear
after the acquisition.
So-and-so acquired this company. Almost like they were like, hey guys, we've been waiting for someone to acquire us and PlayStation hasn't yet, so we're for sale.
Yeah.
And then none of the big guys come. This dude out of nowhere company comes and is like, oh, we'll take you, kind of like Tencent. They could be just following the same footsteps. Just it's all just an investment and nothing changes.
Yeah, I know, because like obviously there's other games, Tomb Raider. We're kind of waiting to see what next comes with Tomb Raider. Will it ever happen now? I don't know. And then of course the will they ever come out with a third installment of Deus Ex? I completely doubt it. I would bet everything I have against that. So I don't know.
Isn't fucking Just Cause also in that?
Yes, I believe so. Yeah.
That's a cool game, but see, a lot of their IPs, like I guess you could say it with a lot of companies, but they're just like has-beens, you know, like it's almost like anything new that comes out is going to be the same. The next Tomb Raider game, it's going to be the same as the one we just played, which is just a little bit different than the one we played before that. You can only do so much shit before it's not a Tomb Raider game anymore. And you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. So it's almost like, what do they do? Keep putting out the same redundant bullshit?
Yeah.
Or just let it sit as one of the greatest franchises and create another one.
Well, that's what we're hoping. That would be the right way. You know, that would be like, okay, that makes sense now. You know what I mean? So,
yeah. And yeah, Square, like their Western studios, they never really seem to put emphasis on them like the way that they would with like some of their other brands, like, because they're going to go all in on Final Fantasy. That makes the money. They're going to go all in on Kingdom Hearts. That makes the money.
Yeah, you're right.
And they also recently came out being like of like going all in on like blockchain and NFTs. So if like the couple of something million dollars that I think Shadow of the Tomb Raider sold, because it came out very quickly. And I think most people missed that. I think people missed the end of that trilogy because it was like, oh crap, a Tomb Raider game already. And then it ended up like on sale after like 2 months or like maybe 1 month. They don't like that. Square Enix has a really high bar for like what they consider their game as a success. And I'd also tagged a part of that story because a couple of days before this, Yuji Naka, the creator of Sonic the Hedgehog and Bayland Wonderworld, which a couple of months ago was like the video game punching bag for how completely unfinished and unpolished it was, he came out with like a really long Twitter thread about how Square Enix doesn't care about like the games that they're making or like the games that the smaller studios are making, and they don't care about the fans. And I'm inclined to believe him on that regard.
Yeah.
I mean, Kingdom Hearts' existence is proof of that.
Yeah.
They don't care. It's like, well, this is going
to
make
like, what
money.
Can we, yeah, what can we do to make money? Disney. A collaboration with Disney? Okay, done. But are you sure?
Yeah,
fuck it.
Let's put Mickey Mouse in an action scene. Like, oh, all right. What is... Like, did the kids nowadays even know who Mickey is?
That's like they kind of do, I guess.
Just because of Disney World, because of the amusement park, not because of cartoons.
But even they would be, feel the same way. It's not even like when you're a kid, you look at Goofy and you're like, oh, he's some sort of awesome adult. Like he's dumber than he is to us now. And to have him as your fucking teammate in anything is stupid. Donald Duck, same thing. There's just, it's stupid. It's like, Mickey Mouse, yeah, because he's like Mario, multiple personalities. He can be anything. He could be a fucking wizard. No one else can.
Yeah.
Donald's a goddamn sailor, man.
Except for Harry Potter. You're a wizard, Harry.
It took me a decade to freaking play Kingdom Hearts because by the time Kingdom Hearts was a thing, I didn't care for Disney or Square Enix at the time. It's like this is like a two-headed nightmare of the things that I hate the most in 2001. So like it took me a decade to play the game. I kind of played the first one. I watched my wife play the second one. It looked like somebody dosed me with acid with how the story was going, and I like kind of checked out.
Sounds like Disney. That's what it sounds like. All right. Does this sound like Activision Blizzard? The employees are being threatened for speaking out because of this. Because of the complaint. So apparently, according to the complaint, an employee was threatened by a manager after posting an article about the lawsuit in Slack, and which is that's a social media, right? Yeah. And discussing holding Activision Blizzard accountable with other co-workers, according to former Blizzard senior test analyst Jessica Gonzalez, who is cited in CWA's press release. The company has a pattern of retaliation against workers who speak out, which has only gotten stronger as the company faces further legal challenges and complaints. Fuck! I thought this was all over once Microsoft scooped them up, but no, it's still not. They're still not getting it. I don't know. This is just one of those ongoing sagas that we're just talking about in nauseam, and it's just like everyone else is talking about it. Why aren't they getting it? Anybody? Anybody?
They're not even hiding anymore. It's like at the very least you would just like put your head down and just try and muscle through this. They should know that more shit's going to come out by now about this. They should know that people would feel more openly about this. But if you're it's like this. It's such Saturday morning cartoon villain stuff at this point.
Yeah. Oh, right. Like, And I would have got away with it too if it were something.
This could just be nothing. This could just be one manager being a dick manager and not knowing what they do. Because, like, you know, a lot of these people don't know what they're doing. They just have positions. And so, like, it's obvious because they're doing shit like this. So I don't think it's a big deal because, Microsoft is, like, doing all this stuff. I mean, we already have validation from Mercy herself that they have pretty much, you know, released the floodgates and it's A-OK with releasing all the Overwatch stuff now and everything's cool, at least with that. So this, I think, is just might end up being just a stupid like, hey, you know, we have a dick manager who's being a dick and we're just going to get him in trouble. And then the media picks up on it and just bundles it in with everybody else.
Yeah.
I think could be an issue of just Microsoft or whoever's in charge over the Blizzard heads going, you're fired. But again, some of these companies, even though Microsoft bought them, Microsoft could also have zero authority. You know, they could have, you know, a 50% stake. They could have a 90% stake with 0% in like management. Like they don't do anything with that, you know? So maybe they're still like, hey, you guys have to deal with this shit yourself. You know, we're still making money, but even that kind of seems weird.
I agree.
Yeah, or maybe they'll stay hands off until the deal's finalized. And
it's got to be finalized now.
I think it is.
Everything's a go.
They've already approved
everything's
it.
A go. Yeah. They've already started paying the game testers, giving them raises. I think this might just be some confused fucking manager is just like, I didn't know this counted as that shit. As interfering in unionization, I was just pissed off because my name was dropped and they said I was an asshole.
I know, but these managers need to realize that anything they do is going to be scrutinized.
Yeah, they're on eggshells right now, so just, you know, do whatever anybody asks you that's below you and you'll be okay.
That's fair. Okay.
Yeah.
well said or something like that. Yeah. All right. Well, let's move on to something more fun. How about that? What happens when you're out of money, Berlin?
I don't know.
You like free games, right?
Ah, man, I'm all out of cash.
let's get to those. These articles are also written up on our website from our very own Mike. Let's go with games with gold first. How about that? The games go like this, available right now through the 31st of May. Yoku's Island Express. I don't know anything about that game.
I love it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Why?
It's like, so if you enjoy Sonic Spinball, I think you might get a kick out of Yoko's Island Express.
I love Sonic Spinball. Okay.
Yeah, it's got like pinball mechanics. It's like a platformer pinball game, and it's kind of in like the same mold. The music isn't as sweet, but it's a very good game.
I mean, it's a Sonic game. There's no music. Doesn't even compare, but okay. Next one is The Inner World, The Last Wind Monk, and that's available the 16th through June 15th. Anything? Me and Verlaine are like, what the hell is this?
I honestly, I used to download every game just to have it. Like,
I just put it in my library. I just put it in my library. Because one day I'll get to it.
But you know what? I've given up. I don't even do that now. I do not even waste my time downloading these things because it's like it's garbage and I will never go to this is the bottom of the barrel that we're getting right now of games, even though some of them are new. Who gives a shit? Because they're probably fucking indie games. Like I'm kind of like tired of that shit too.
Yeah.
Like every new game coming out is one of them dumb fucking Vivendi games, which Telltale didn't work. You're half a step below them. Get off my storefront.
That's fair. I mean, we know the free games are eventually going to end. It's going to happen. It's just a matter of time. But for now, here's a few more. Hydro Thunder Hurricane, available right now through the 15th of May. Oh, Hydro. Oh, Hydro. And then last, but I'm certainly least, I think in this case, May 16th through the 31st, Viva Pinata Party Animals. Who's in? Woo-woo!
I feel like
that game's it's been free for me forever.
I know.
It's been on EA Access games. It's been on fucking Game Pass forever.
Yeah, I
feel like Viva Pinata. It's almost like the syrup in Vermont or something. They're just trying to get rid of it. Just take it.
There's so much syrup.
It's very Nintendo 64.
Yeah. Okay. Now, as far as PlayStation games. Three games to at least mention. In this case, this one will be available. Available tomorrow. These games will be available tomorrow for PlayStation 5 and 4. FIFA 22.
Yeah.
Soccer's cool. FIFA games are okay.
Yeah, it's all right. It's all right. Yeah, but I mean, it's the new game, so I kind of want. I'll you know, give it a go. Then Tribes of Midgard. Is that like a Thor story? No, Midgard. No, Midgard is Earth.
We're
right?
Midgard.
It's ish. It's.
But they refer to it as Midgard. That's why.
Yeah.
Okay. And then Curse of the Dead Gods.
That one.
On Game Pass. That's good.
I like that. One okay. I'm interested in because I think it's a Dead Cells spinoff, and I love Dead Cells.
I've been playing it for a while.
Nice.
It's good. It's a cool game.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So there you go.
It's like Hades.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah. All right. Oh, Hades is awesome. Hades is one of the coolest games I've played in a while. Like, even the audio, like the voicing, the voice acting, and the storyline, it's pretty sweet. If you haven't played Hades, I highly suggest it.
Yeah, I keep meaning to get back into that one because like Supergiant Games. But my old trivia, Transistor was the first PlayStation 4 game that I ever bought, and that was and that was from them.
Yeah.
I loved Transistor. It was like super easy, and I think the company took note of that. That everyone thought, oh well, everyone beat Transistor, huh? Well, each of our games are going to get progressively more intense and more difficult.
That's fair.
And that's fair. Hades beat the shit out of me for the first couple of hours.
Yeah, but it's good. That's a good game. I really enjoyed that game. So, all right, let's move on before we get into some movie news. This is something I had to mention. So the Twitter account is Rudism, RUDEISM, and this guy has made a controller. Okay, it's a modified controller. Verlaine, you love those Mad Cat controllers, right? And
mm-hmm.
Well, this one is, well, it was a suggestion by some of his followers, and he went ahead and did it. This is the first modified Fisher-Price controller that you can actually play on your computer. Check this out.
Here it is, the Fisher-Price Xbox controller. Still has all the sounds that it comes with in the box, but it also can play games. So just to give you a rundown of how it all works and to placate any naysayers out there, quick rundown. We've got Elden Ring running on our Alienware laptop. By the way, they sponsored my builds. Shout outs to them. We've got USB cable in the back, and that's running all the way out here. And so I'll plug it in. And like so. So I'm doing it all in one shot just so that you can see it is real indeed. Here you go. Left thumbstick moves around. We've got jump. We've got roll. We've got use abilities. So A, B, X, and Y doesn't do too much on Elden Ring, but you can see that the menu changes there. We've got D-pad. So if you check on the bottom left of the screen, you'll see.
Okay, you get the idea.
I have that controller.
For your kids have it? Like,
yeah.
That's so funny. Well, yeah. Well, so you modified it and it works. I mean, it works pretty good too. The way he did it. This is people just have too much time on their hands. But I think the best part about it is that he left the sounds within the controller. So
yeah.
So the sounds were still going as he pressed it. So I mean, that's a hell of a mod job, if you ask me. Like that's impressive.
That controller actually responds to the Konami code.
Yeah, I was just about to ask that. Yeah. Wasn't that a thing?
I heard
about that. It'll do all these sounds, and then it says, "You win."
That's cool.
Nice.
Yeah, like the kid's ever going to figure that out.
Oh, yeah.
They're like,
it's just for adults.
Yeah, that's only for the parents. Like, that is only for the parents. But yeah, I just thought it was cool and weird all at the same time. So
I need to find that controller now for no other reason than just to have it. Yeah. I like the way it looks. It looks way too happy. Like, I love its design.
Yeah. All right. We're talking about all these AAA games and everything, but, like, I don't know. I'm kind of getting sick of talking about it. I'd rather talk about, like, Solitaire.
Okay.
Or Free Cell. Are you good with Free Cell? Do you remember?
Mm-hmm.
What is the other one? Spider something or other? Or just Spider?
Spider Solitaire?
Spider.
Yeah. Ski Free.
Ski Free. Actually, that was sweet. I'll take that any day. Well, apparently, reportedly, Netflix, even though they're cracking down on a bunch of people and whatever because they're sharing passwords, Netflix says reportedly they're going to offer nearly 50 games by the end of 2022. I mean, talk about read the room, right? Like, who fucking wants that? Nobody. Like, that is going to fail miserably. It may as well be called Oya.
Yeah, or the Netflix chameleon.
All they're doing is they're selling the rights to make mobile games for their IPs, like Stranger Things, the mobile game.
But you
like,
could
that's
play
all
it,
that they're doing.
You could play it on your TV with a controller.
Yeah, so,
not a video game controller, a remote controller.
Right. So if they're bringing those games to the actual Netflix platform, it's still the same thing. It's just, yeah, it's not going to work. And it's not them really, I think it's not really them making the game as more as just, it's their IP.
Yeah.
You know, like they say, hey, Stranger Things, it's a Netflix game. But like, is it really a Netflix game or did they just pay to have it made by someone else?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Either way, like, that's a huge, look at PlayStation was saying they were going to have like 100 and some fucking like first party things in a certain amount of time. And they were going to have all those, what are they called? Kind of like Destiny games.
Live service.
Yes. Oh, like okay, a bunch of live service titles. And that's constantly been proven to fucking be a shit show and not really worth it.
True.
The games that made live service gaming a thing are the ones that are the only ones that will succeed at it. All the other ones are gonna fail. It's fucking like it's in our faces. You can take the most popular IP of the time, the Avengers, and put it in that scenario and it fails. It's not gonna work. It's not gonna work.
Chris is right. He is the king of bad indie games because he's an achievement whore. So, oh wait. Or what's it called? Achievement Hunter? I like horror better.
Horse hunters. A hunter is just a whore for death.
He's like, oh my god, that new solitaire game came out. I got to get those achievements. That sucks, man. And I totally get it. I totally get why you do it. It's cool. You're getting all these achievements. But man, some of those games suck, dude. Like that.
Did you have a Windows phone? Because if not, try to get one. And then if so, try to get some of their games because there's games there that are very easy achievements that you can't get anywhere else, like Flowers. I got some achievements on Flowers. Got some achievements in games that don't exist anymore.
Nice.
Yeah. Ooh. That probably doesn't matter, but it's extra shit.
Get that Windows phone, son. Get it. Yeah.
Nothing I think of Netflix was. I was expecting Netflix to make more things like Escape the Undertaker, which I remember actually playing. Like they never followed up on anything like that. I thought that was supposed to be a thing.
Oh my god. I've completed 119. Oh my god. Oh well.
Windows phone games.
Yeah. There you have it. There you have it.
Take that, Apple Arcade.
Yeah, really. Jeez. I don't think anyone's ever done that. Anyway. All right. So let's move on to some movie news. Are you guys ready for this? We got, of course, the Afternoon Delight at the end. So
Afternoon Delight.
So if you haven't seen episode 5, that is your cue that eventually we're going to get to it, but not yet. So don't leave yet. So. Real quick, apparently they have titled the new Avatar 2 movie. It's called The Way of Water. And apparently the original film is being remastered for theaters. Anyone? You in the back?
The Way of Water. So are they going to think that they're going to be like... So the first Avatar was great because of the CGI and all.
Oh, Candair's
right?
Here.
The whole show. The whole thing with it was the fact that they had such great CGI blended in with real life and mocap the way they did it, yada, but now everybody's surpassed that. Like, it's garbage shit now. So are they thinking that they're going to do some magical cool effects with like water? Because yes, when they started filming this movie,
That's what you're getting out of this?
Yeah. But see, no, I'm not. What I'm getting out of it is that it's still Avatar, and unless they do something fucking wowy, it's going to be shit. The Matrix knew this, and what the Matrix did was decide to be self-aware about what it was. That's how the Matrix, the new one, was a tolerable movie, because it was self-aware. Avatar can't be self-aware and be like, Well, you know, the last time you were here, the graphics were a little shitty. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's Avatar. So what I was getting at is, like, when they started creating Avatar and thinking about how are we going to change things, at that point, water was very difficult to animate and get really dead on.
Sure. I mean, look. Look at the background of our video right now.
But I mean, water has only recently, in the past couple, like 10 years, maybe not even, have gotten perfect.
Sea of Thieves,
like, perfect.
Sea of Thieves is a perfect example of that.
It looks so good now. Yeah. So, what I'm getting at is, they might have been, if that's what they're going on, because I mean, what else could this fucking mean?
I don't know.
They're gonna go in the water, like they're gonna. I mean. I don't know, man. I have
who knows.
James Cameron, I think he's one of those directors. Look, you just got to move the fuck over and let the young guys do this shit, because it's like, it's not working out. It's not working out.
How do you know? How do you know it's not working out? The movie hasn't even seen the light of day yet.
No. I'm talking about those past director guys coming back with movies that don't work. He just came back. Didn't he come back for the Terminator? Well, that did really
awesome.
When
was the last time the Terminator worked? Exactly. If you say Genesis, I'm leaving.
Listen, no, the last time it worked was when he did it, right? When he did number two, it worked.
That was it.
So he came back to do Dark Fate thinking it's going to fucking work again, and it didn't.
No.
So that's what I'm saying. Avatar, just like The Matrix was made because it was so phenomenal because of the filmmaking. Bullet time.
Yeah,
but now we're surpassing bullet time. So when it came out, they weren't focused on bullet time anymore.
Right.
They couldn't, and they knew it, and they addressed that. They can't do that anymore. They had to focus on the story.
Yeah, it's like, dare I say, I think that, like, Zack Snyder is the one that, like, kind of nailed that comic book-esque presentation of bringing, like, panels to life on, like, the big screen. Like, he's a bit of a visionary director. I mean, some of his stuff sucks, but visually it's very creative.
It's fair. It's fair.
And like Cameron, he's in that get off my lawn phase of his career. I mean, I think that the original Avatar is going back in theaters so he can bump up its like box office.
Well, that's exactly it.
To keep the comic book movies away from it.
Well, but yeah, because Endgame is the leader at this point, I believe, isn't that? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it is. So
I think so.
Yeah. I think it still is. So yeah, or no? Oh yeah. That's right. It has to be because it beat Titanic too.
So and he's releasing that, it mind. Like remastered.
Yeah, that's what they're saying. Yeah, so he's gonna make even more money for that from the first movie, and it's gonna be the most making. Blah 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 blah.
Well, wait,
blah,
no, but remastered shouldn't count as the original.
Why? No, it's just...
I mean, even in gaming, like, the...
Dude, are you kidding
me? Remastered isn't...
Dude, don't be stupid.
...towards the sales of the original.
Don't be stupid. You're not...
I'm dead serious.
You're not
that
stupid.
It's a remaster. It's a remaster.
Yeah,
it's
the same movie.
Right, it is.
It just looks better. That's all it is. It's the same movie.
Okay. Like, that's the thing. Does like the...
credit. It'll take credit for it. It will, I promise.
Well, see, it hasn't come out yet, Dave, right?
But
you don't
will.
Know that. Has it ever happened?
I do know that. It will
name
happen.
Name another movie that it's happened, that a movie's been remastered, and it goes towards the original box office.
Titanic.
Does Star Wars?
I don't know.
I don't know if Star Wars was considered.
Titanic, 100%. I'm telling
Titanic
you, dude.
Titanic was remastered?
Yes, I'm telling you. They put it back in theaters, and then it like made another $1 billion.
And it was remastered.
I can't believe we're arguing about this. This is not even a debate. I'm telling you facts.
Right, but I don't remember these facts. I don't remember Titanic coming out remastered.
Yeah,
I remember it coming out again on its 10th anniversary.
Well, they made it into HD. That's what they did. Because it wasn't.
They did the same thing with The Lion King when like HD was starting to be a thing too. But I don't remember the conversations being around whether or not it accrued to its original.
Do you know if Titanic's even if it made $1 million, does it go towards it?
Yes, it did.
Okay.
We'll
find out. Hey, look, forgive me for arguing you. You don't work with them, so you can't just say like it does. And
but it does.
It does.
But it does. It's not anyway. All right, let's move on. Are we, anyone see Kung Fu Hustle?
Oh, I love that movie.
A long time ago. Apparently, they just announced that it's getting a sequel. Kung Fu Hustle 2 will be coming out. No word on release date or anything like that. But yeah, we're getting a Kung Fu Hustle 2. Okay.
I like Shaolin Soccer better.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. That was a weird movie, but it was funny. Yeah. Yeah, so there you go. Maybe if you're into that, maybe that's something to look forward to. So
I always wanted a sequel to Kung Pao.
Like, oh, my God. That movie was so stupid.
I want a sequel to, oh, my God, that Kung Fu movie. The one that was straight up on YouTube. It was straight YouTube, and then they made a game about it. Oh my God. And it was straight up 90s-esque 80s arcade. He met up with the, oh my God, whatever. I can't think of it.
No, I don't remember.
Someone's going to know it.
Yeah. So if you're in this chat room, you know what you're
talking about, and that's probably going to hit me later this evening. Mm-hmm. Damn it. Well, the name's escaping me.
Keep thinking about it. I'm not going to get it. I'm telling you right now. They're making a Demolition Man 2. Is that right? Is that true? Why not? What? Why the fuck not? Right?
I've heard rumblings of it. It's like, may as well. Yeah. Go right ahead.
What? Wesley Jesus. Snipes is alive still?
Yeah.
Absolutely. I think he's in his 70s now.
Yeah, he was in the second installment Creed. Of Coming to America.
Yeah.
Which was
in the Expendables 3.
Awful movie. That too.
Wesley Snipes was actually the best part of like Coming to America too. He looked like the one person that was having fun with it.
Yeah, that movie's awful.
I skipped that movie.
I love that first movie is one of the best movies ever made. The second movie is terrible. It's terrible.
Didn't need to happen.
No, it didn't. It was just like, we'll just force it. Yeah, that'll be fine. Yeah, let's just write it and force it. Yeah. The Super Mario Bros. Animated movie, of course, is delayed now to April of 2023.
Oh, well.
I know.
They could cancel that fucking thing.
I know. I'm like, whatever, dude. Like, this is not... whatever. I mean, it better be all animated, or else it's not going to make any sense, as we've actually explained on the show in the past.
Right. If they pull stuff like what Sonic is trying to do, I don't think Mario has like the I don't think Mario has the gravitas to like pull off what Sonic.
Gravitas, doing. good one. I like it. All right, let's get into some. Let's go to Marvel before we hit what we're going to talk about at the end, of course. So Captain just announced Captain Marvel 2. And the Ant-Man 3, or whatever it's called, the Quantumanium, whatever, Ant-Man and the Wasp and Quantumanium. The sequel of Captain Marvel was supposed to be released February 17th of 2023, and the new Ant-Man movie was supposed to be scheduled July 28th of 2023. Now we have learned that those movies have swapped. I don't know what that means. I'm not even going to speculate, but it either means that Captain Marvel is just not ready yet, and they're not going to be ready until then, or I don't know. I don't know. Maybe it makes more sense in the storyline to have Ant-Man. That's the only thing I can come up with, but who knows? Who knows? Nothing?
He's got nothing. It feels weird who they're trying to push is like the direction of this, because like the sort of lukewarm reaction to Captain Marvel, it's like, how can we make this character compelling? Maybe they're retooling that. Like,
and I like the character, but it's just, I don't know, do we need another Captain Marvel movie? But
I think it's also gonna have what's her name, right? The chick who was in Wanda who got those powers,
Wanda Rambo?
Yes.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I think she's gonna be in it. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I fucking don't know. Maybe they're rethinking shit. Maybe there is some sort of... Wait, what's the movie that's banned now? Because is it Doctor Strange that's banned in like some countries because they show like... Or they represent like
there's
same-sex marriage or something?
Yeah, there was like a same-sex kiss or something, and I think it got banned in Israel?
Jeez. Yeah, so... So maybe it could be something like that, because that is a movie that's driven a lot by women, and they're probably going to be, you know, exploring everything that goes on in the world. And, you know, that could be a thing. And maybe there's some things that they're like, all right, well, we get it, but we don't really want to be banned. So maybe there's something we can tweak to make this not happen. Because isn't Miss Marvel of Middle Eastern
descent? Yeah, right.
So if there's something going on with that, like they kind of like maybe they wanted to slide in that she's a lesbian. Maybe they're rethinking something, or maybe they don't want to mention it because, you know, it does hurt. Like, yeah, it sucks that they have rules, but that's still like a good group of people that don't have any care about that anyways. That's a political thing that won't get to see these movies now.
Right.
Just because their government doesn't like two women kissing.
Right. It's so stupid.
So Disney is going to try to make something happen. So that could be it. Or, I don't know, maybe they just got done filming first.
Yeah, that's fair. That could be it, too. Who knows?
We also need to see the Miss Marvel show before the movie comes out. And that could also be an issue.
Yes.
Because they just decided, you know, these shows aren't going to get a second one, supposedly.
Jack says Egypt and Saudi Arabia, it's banned. And then he says China as well.
Yeah.
And that kind of makes sense.
There you go.
Yep, there you have it. There you have it. So, all right. And another Marvel news, the Fantastic Four. Oh, the Fantastic Four. If there is a movie that's more cursed than the Fantastic Four, let me know. Because they're never going to get it right. So Fantastic Four, the MCU movie, has lost their director, John Watts, according to Kevin Feige. This is not good, man. This is not good for what we want to see as far as... I mean, like, this is something that we want to see, right? We want to see the Fantastic Four because it answers a lot of questions. It fills in a lot of blanks. But I don't know, I man. Just, like, it makes me really nervous.
Team. We need to see the Avengers with another team. That's what we want. Like, we don't want to see a bunch of individuals form a new team. Give us a team. Give us Marvel's touch. That's what we want. We saw Marvel touch Spider-Man and make it the greatest thing. So we want you to touch Fantastic Four and make it the greatest thing. Because you touched Iron Man and Captain America and Thor, and they all notoriously sucked. Everything sucked. There was never a successful anything about them, ever.
Yeah.
Maybe the Hulk show with Thor in it. So do that with the Fantastic Four, and it's going to be cool. But it is weird because the guy just like has regular reasons, like he wants to take a break from superhero movies. You decide this in the middle of the fucking movie middle of the process?
Seriously.
They're like, oh, hey, I decided I want to do this. And then everybody's like, oh, that's cool. You know, whatever. Just go do your thing. Like, that seems like something where you're kind of already under contract when you start the thing, where you can't just be like, I changed my mind. Can I go? But look, it's the Fantastic Four. And it's very weird. Nobody likes them. Everybody wants to like them, but we've seen movies and they don't like these movies. I mean, the last movie I liked, I thought it was cool. What they did with Mr. Fantastic and Dr. Doom was sweet.
Yeah.
Showing Mr. Fantastic fight was awesome. Like, that was awesome. But nobody liked it. So fucking give it up. Give us something else. Focus on the X-Men. Focus on something else.
Yeah.
But yeah, I only wanted the Fantastic Four because it just seemed to fit, and I just wanted them to come in the middle. Like, we were introduced to the cosmic world, and they are, you know, made because of the cosmic world.
Right.
And, you know, with the Fantastic Four comes a lot of new enemies.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean,
it's Galactus and Doctor Doom.
And they were the ones who supposedly bought Avengers Tower. So if they're not going to be here, they mentioned it all the time.
That's what I meant by filling in blanks. Like, that was kind of part of it. So I don't know. This is, they just got to figure it out. And it's so funny because, like, in the past, you know, it's Marvel, right? We trust in Marvel. We trust, right? Because if this was DC, we're like, well, fuck it, whatever. You know, like, it's just DC. But like, Marvel's now they're having some, you know, like, chinks in the chain here, and it's just like, it's just making me nervous. That's all. And now they're flipping release dates and movies. Like, they're, I don't know, this next phase that we're doing is this is phase four, right? Of the MCU it's just really making me nervous, and it's just like, all right, because like, I really enjoyed Spider-Man, but like, it wasn't the best Marvel movie ever that everyone keeps saying it is. It's a good movie,
Sure. I thought it was the best Spider-Man movie.
Well, that's fair. That's easy to say. But like, but they're saying it's the best Marvel movie. I was like, have you seen all the Marvel movies?
Yeah.
I'm still going with the Winter Soldier for that one. Yeah. I thought that was like Fantastic Four for probably the last 20 years. I feel like the Fantastic Four, and one of the reasons why people have like grown to kind of roll their eyes at them, they're a strictly Silver Age comic book team that don't fit in anymore. I almost feel like they should be given the like Into the Spider-Verse treatment with like a CGI movie or like a TV show.
Yeah.
That's because I think like, and like there is that untold story about Josh Trank's Fantastic Four movie, because he said there was a lot of stuff on the cutting room floor, so there was like some corporate meddling happening there. Sure. Maybe his vision wasn't realized. That's like something we'll never know. And then there's like the Brett Ratner movies from like the mid-2000s, which were silly. they were like fun, but. I think it's trying to find a way to fit a team that is like a really dated concept into like a modern day, because like we can't just rush the X-Men and like I don't think that they can split things off and try and do the West Coast Avengers with like Hawkeye and like the team that he assembled. Like, I don't know if that would be like a thing. So, this phase really helter skelter, and they're just kind of like throwing stuff at the walls and seeing what sticks. And like so far, it's like nothing. It's like, here, Sam's our new Captain America, and the public reception seemed to be
lukewarm.
I think it's better now that the show fucking showed how awesome he really was at it.
Though. Yeah, but they're not going to do a lot with it. Unfortunately, he might be in like one movie. You know, so it's just like. All right. I don't know. There's no payoff. I feel like that's what we're getting right now.
It's going to
be awesome, and then it doesn't happen. It's like, oh, no.
We're going to have a payoff in 4 days, dude. Fucking Doctor Strange comes out in 4 days.
It's true.
I can't believe that.
Yeah.
Like, I just realized that. Mm. That's fucking awesome.
Oh, and by the way, last week was Alien Week or Alien Day or whatever, and I just want to say May the 4th be with you guys.
May the 4th be with you, too.
So, okay. And also with you.
Lots of Star Wars shit coming out.
Yeah. So it's coming. It's coming. And you know what happens every May 4th, there's usually an announcement. So keep your ear to the ground or your eye to the ground or to the whatever it is. Yeah.
Like, they had that giant-ass roadmap. What more could they possibly announce?
I don't know. We're joining forces with Marvel or something.
Yeah, we'll get the new shows, the Mandalorian date. Maybe the Kenobi is going to start. We'll get maybe hopefully the new movie. Whatever the next new movie is going to be is what we need an announcement.
Yep.
Like now it's been a little too long.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. So, all right, let's get to it. We got about 8, 10, 9 minutes right now, and let's get to the Aftermoon Delight.
Afternoon Delight.
So okay, episode 5. We got one more episode to go. Next week is the last final episode.
Really?
That's it. It's 6 episodes. So we're almost there. Mike, are you caught up? Let me ask you that first. Okay, cool. So this next episode, episode 5, I gotta tell you, I'm like, okay, now I'm in. Let's go. You know, this because 4 kind of pulled me back in, and now 5, I'm back. Like, I'm completely back. And we're only gonna get one episode left, so I guess I just have to be whatever. But yeah, man, this is crazy. It's crazy. It actually is crazy because okay, so now we learned that you got Steven and you got Mark. Mark is the original. Steven is the made up, right?
Steven's the made up one.
I knew there was like multiple personalities in there, and I was like, okay, but why? But I figured maybe there was something cosmic about it, but no, it's all in his head. which then it kind of makes sense when he becomes Moon Knight, and like when he's Steven Moon Knight and when he's Mark Moon Knight, they look different and everything, because just because there's different personalities. This is a cool show. Too bad nothing will come of it, but this is a very cool show. Are they going to release Khonshu again? I think they have to. That's where I'm at. You know, Mike, you weren't here last week. If you wanna comment about where you're at with this show, go for it. Let's start with you.
Yeah, I won't go on too long about it. I'm glad that I had a chance to binge watch it. I feel like if I had to watch this on like a weekly basis, I probably would have really hated it.
Yes, that's kind of where I was at. Yeah, I agree.
God, because like the first three episodes, it's like the typical let's leave the viewer in the dark sort of thing. And like with WandaVision, it was neat. With Loki, it was getting a little bit tiresome. And this time I was pissed off a midway through
episode. I don't know. I never got tired with Loki, but okay, go ahead.
and so we're actually starting to get to like the real meat of what like Mark is doing. Or Steven rather. Oscar Isaac's performance is probably my favorite thing about this show.
Oh, yeah.
Because I really like the way that he's portraying these two characters to the point that I actually get lost.
You have to pay attention to the accent.
Yeah.
Because then you'll know. And, like, that's the only way.
And like, that was actually me off for a while.
What?
Like, that's so obvious.
Well, yeah, but I'm just saying, like, that you know, like, when they, it's just like, oh, okay, he's Mark again. Oh, okay, he's Steven again. You know, it's just like, yeah. So, anyway, go ahead.
It was like keeping tracks of that, which was one of the things that was kind of, like, difficult for like, a little while. And after you start to learn about what Steven did, before he created Mark, I think I got that backwards there. Did I?
Mark
did.
Yes.
Yeah, when Mark did.
I was thinking, okay, these are two terrible people who I thought were hiding secrets from each other.
They kind of were in a roundabout way.
Yeah. And like episode five here, it's really messed up. When you get to his history and what he has decided to create for himself, I've like watched a show like this where like fictional characters came into reality and are confronting their authors and they're asking, why did you do this fucked up shit to me? And they're like, well, because it's entertainment to make money. I feel like that's what's happening right now with the being that was like given existence. He's given pain. He's given misery, and he doesn't know why. Yeah. And it's freaking him the fuck out. I love it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, obviously, the, you know, some stuff that they blocked out. That like his mother beat him, and it, like he's obviously had a terrible upbringing. But then let's Verlaine, what you go now? So we'll get to the next part, but.
Oh, I'm just like, I don't know. I don't know what to think about this show. Like, I think it's interesting, but only part of it, because it's still, even though they answered what he was, yeah, and all of his backstory, we still don't know what the fuck's going on. We have no idea what is going on. And the worst thing that can happen, because look, there's one fucking episode left. So this one episode,
he's going to have to come back like, as Moon Knight. He's going to come back. We got to see it again.
So, but one episode, like to wrap everything up for him to come back as Moon Knight, do whatever. Like, really, what is the point? Like, we haven't even seen the chick come out. The other god hasn't even made an appearance yet. That the point of this whole thing is to stop the other god. Hasn't even made an appearance. Khonshu's gone, so we need Khonshu back. See the god. See how powerful dude is. I don't know if it's gonna go. It just seems like there's too much for a last episode.
It was the same with Loki, though. If you remember,
Loki ended. Loki keeps going. Loki ended at.
That's fair.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, this one, people are saying there's no second thing planned.
Right.
So if that's the truth, this has to end. It has to end, or it's going to end with Doctor Strange's circle, or fucking, you know, something's going to happen. Ghost Rider is going to come out. He's going to leave this fucking universe. Like, that's the thing. Like, I don't think this is the last of Moon Knight. It's the last maybe of a show. Just like, it would be okay because now we got what we needed. We have the origin of Moon Knight. We didn't have to sit through a 2.5-hour movie and 10 years of shit to know it.
Yeah.
Like, they've been doing it, which is fucking brilliant because now we have that. Now we don't have to, like, DC's fucking themselves by trying to do what Marvel did. Release a movie of Aquaman, of Flash, all these individuals, but no one gives a shit because they want the Justice League for Superman and Batman and all the extras. But, like, now Marvel doesn't have to release full-length movies on characters we don't know. They don't need that risk. They could just put a show out Now you know the character. Now he's in movies for the rest of his career.
Yeah.
But either way, this is it's confusing me right now. So if we ignore the fact that he keeps kind of waking up in this, we don't know if it's fake or not, insane asylum. Taking that out of the picture, what's going on in the afterlife is fun. It's fun. It's cool. It's creepy. Like it's kind of, it makes sense and it doesn't, but that part's cool. I don't know what the fuck with the clinic. Like that's the thing. Like that has to be established also.
Yeah.
Yeah, is that afterlife or is that time space? It's making me think of like Jacob's Ladder, like in the middle of like death, like are we in purgatory? Because it was mentioned that he can reverse time. Did he stop time like after he was shot to prevent his death, and they're trying to circumvent things to bring his body together?
I guess that could be. I mean, because like once they get Khonshu back, because again, that's going to happen. He can heal him, right? Isn't that like, because he did it that before. He was about to die. We saw that in this episode. He was about to die and he brought him back. So he could do that again. It's foreshadowing. That's what Marvel loves to foreshadow. I don't know. I mean, I guess it's not foreshadow yet because it hasn't happened, but but it will.
But yeah, built in Deus Ex Machina. It's gotta happen. I'd be surprised.
Yeah. Now, the boat scene when they're on the ship or whatever, when Steven finally realizes that he is Mark, so then he like kind of jumps in and he does his thing and he really does. But then he gets thrown overboard. And then, like, the scales evened out because that was, like, the whole thing. And that's what it was. Like, he had to be rid of his alter ego in his head or whatever in order for this to work out. And now he's there. And now he's in the, what do they call it? The reeds?
The field of reeds.
Yeah. Reeds, whatever. So, like, okay, what now?
So it ends with, He balanced and he's in heaven. He died and went to heaven. So if anything, this is an ending. He died. But the thing is like we have the clinic scene, which doesn't make sense because even in a show format, something's going on parallel, but the parallel thing ended. So this thing's still going on. So that's what doesn't make sense right now, because we know that him being in that field of in the afterlife as if he died and went to heaven can't be real because they even have that clinic scene. You know what I'm saying? Because if the clinic scene's not real, then why have it? So he didn't die. Something's happening. Dude, I'm telling you, what if this is just we're going to get fucked and this was all just a fucking like mental thing?
So this is Mario 2.
This is fucking Mario. They're going to Mario 2 us right in the face.
God, I hope not. So
are they going to pull another personality out of here? I hope not.
Well, look, here's another thing, though. Remember, when they first joined up, when Mark was in his own head or in the clinic, and he found Steven, physical form of Steven, in the clinic, he opens a thing, frees Steven. They walk by that other sarcophagus that has a body in it moving. We have to see that. That was not there for no reason. And if we don't see it at the end, if it's not another, it has to be another personality, then we're going to see it in some other time. Yeah. But it has to be. But then what is that?
Maybe that's Moon Knight.
Moon Knight's actually just him. It's always been him.
I don't know. Weird. Let's end it on that. Yeah. I think it's getting good. Obviously, there's one more episode that, of course, we will review it next week's show. So yeah. Anything else you guys want to add or anything before we say goodbye to the good people?
No, I'm gonna try to watch Doctor Strange though.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I'm excited about that.
Is that one theater only?
For now. Yeah, at least for now.
Yeah, dude, so, I think it's gonna wow everybody because there's not been anything. No one's like really like, oh, this is gonna be in it. This is gonna be in it. Like no one. And I'm still like, Tobey Maguire is gonna be in it. Watch that.
Ooh, big old. All right, there you have it.
Man, people's minds are still blown by No Way Home. So
I know they're all trying like.
You heard it here first.
Yep.
Maybe Miles Morales makes a.
Yes.
Give me that.
I would be into that. I'd be like, yes, that was the coolest thing. Oh, well. All right. Yeah, but like I said, we'll leave you on that. So thank you so much for listening. If you download this, we really do appreciate it. Thank you for so much for watching and listening. If you watch the live version of the show on our Facebook page and on Twitch. So thank you for that. Special thanks goes out to Lucy Pohl, the voice of Mercy. Thank you for giving us some time and giving us a pretty cool interview. So I'll probably post that separately on YouTube and all that. So you guys can kind of go check it out. So I think there's only one thing left to do, and it's your world. Pay attention.
Oh, shit. Here we go again.
Be sweet.
I love you.
Adios, turd nuggets.
What was it like to be there for historical sports moments and unforgettable performances? To be behind the scenes? On PressBox Access, you'll hear from me, Todd Jones, and other sports writers about their experiences with the greatest athletes, coaches, and sports events of the past half century. We'll share some stories behind the stories, some big, some small, and some we've only told each other. Let us buy you a round on PressBox Access.